Cliff's gonna come. Hold, folks, I want you to think about this. Think about Billy Randall.
Yeah.
Somewhere in 1981, I'd lived on the streets a long time, made a mess of my life, met my wife, she was living on the streets. And the two of us coming up to him after a service said, I believe God would have us to get married. And he took us in the back room because he was so afraid people would mock and carry on about these two people. And he just took us and he took our hands and he prayed with us. And he just guided us through every bit of that. Two people just bent on self-destruction and sin and everything else. And a man of God, yeah. A man of God, put that marriage together in the grace of God and showed us how God could hold it together. I like it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Man, my cup runneth over.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
You don't see the power and the grace of God in what we just saw. Amen. Those kids are all adults and they're all here. Amen. You realize that sitting right now, do you realize how many kids raised in church do not return? I saw it last week. It was 80%.
Where's that microphone?
I handed it to
There it is back there. We got it right here.
Yeah, right here. Ah, thank you.
Is it, make sure it's all on and you know all that stuff.
No, it's not all on. It's got to get in here somehow.
While he's hooking up that mic church, we just saw family up here. But we need to pray for Carl.
That's right. We're not all here.
No.
Yeah.
We need to pray for Carl. For God to work in his life. Make the family one.
My oldest son sits in involuntary confinement in a mental hospital. I put him there. I talk to him a few times a month. We talk on the phone. Trying to reconcile, put his mind back together. He was under the influence of a pedophile for a long time in his life. One of the hardest things I ever did was have him committed. Hard thing to do.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you this. Some of my kids here. 12 of my grandkids here. But Israel said this, they said the iniquity of Baal Peor is with us to this day. The hurts and the pains and those things that go on and all those residual things that run through. I was saying this earlier, there's a room in Olean, New York, top of the stairs. A godly woman by the name of Patricia Haney goes in there and she prays. Covenant prayers. Covenant. I think a lot of times the strength of this church depends on that woman in that room.
Yes,
by more than people realize. I mean, we're all talking about Pastor Dean, he's here and he's organized things. He almost has me organized and such. A lot of power inside that woman.
Yes, thank you. Amen. Amen.
How do you think Pastor Haynes became what he did?
Amen. That's right.
Yeah, exactly right.
Amen.
Right, sir. That's right.
Today, God is at work.
Yeah. Help us.
In the sixth generation of my family.
Amen.
I was the first one in the entire clan saved. For years, I was the black sheep. You go to a family reunion and they'd run and hide when I walked in. Now you go to a family reunion and they're sitting around talking about the Bible.
Amen.
Amen.
Good.
The sixth generation is on the mission field already with her parents. She's just a little bit of a thing. She's about 8 months old, but when you come from where we came from, preacher, and you see stuff like that, what we just saw, my, we owe a great debt.
Yes.
Six generations. I saw three generations of Asquiths. I know the one didn't have an Asquith last name, but She sure looked like her mother, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, that Perkins fellow said he'd take her, the best deal we ever had.
But you know, he mentions Billy Randall. I had several men, but there was one that was in the background. Never did I get a chance to say even thank you until he came here. That's you, Pastor Hank. If you hadn't went after Kenny Bell, Kenny Bell witnessed to me. He's the first man to ever witness to me. And I didn't get it the first time. I was hard-headed. But I got it, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And after me, my father, and then after my father, my grandfather, and Pastor Hayne had the privilege of baptizing my grandfather.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Somebody had an influence in you somewhere. Amen. Somebody did a lot of labor, and somebody prayed. I'm still looking to see who prayed me in. I don't have any idea because I was the first one in the family. But you know, I got a hold of my family tree here just yesterday on the Taylor side. First time I've ever seen it. And I was amazed to find out that my great, great, great grandfather was a man named Gad Taylor. The name Gad stuck out. Most of us have got names like mine, and they didn't come out of the Bible. But Gad's a Bible name. Just a chance somebody back there had some God in them, amen?
Amen.
And did some praying. Because we sure was heathens when it got around to my time. You know, amen. My grandfather and the rest of us down to me. And thanks be to God, amen, for his saving grace.
Amen.
Take your Bible and go to Ezekiel 14. Ezekiel 14. We'll start reading in verse 1, read the first 6 verses. Eventually, first 7 verses, I guess. And the Bible says, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth a stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they're all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent, and turn yourselves from your idols. And turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself." Pastor Hayne, would you pray for us, please?
Father eternal in the heavens, great and gracious as you're dealing with us. And even as we've read this passage, idols in their heart. Oh God in heaven, I pray that each of us here in this service this day would remove any idols that are in the heart. Now bless Brother Taylor as he preaches. Lord, that message that you've given to him for us, feed us from your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We tend to think of idols as, you know, those icons and those statues and, you know, those little, I think of the Buddhists with their Buddhist statue and all of that. When we look at that thing, idols, we tend to make it something visual, something that's seen, something that's easy to pick at and say, yeah, that's it. You know, I grew up in next about half mile up the road from a Catholic church, and some of the Catholic people would put, I always called it an upside down bathtub with a little statue of Mary in there, you know, and out in the yard. And so, you know, that's an easy way to pick on it. But it just hit me as I was reading that, and then as Pastor Hayne prayed, it was amazing. But idols in their heart. You know, we can't see the idols in people's hearts.
Right.
But you know what will come out? Eventually what's going to come out is we'll see the effect of that idol.
Yes, sir.
And we'll see the worship of that idol in some form, some way, some shape. I said here, he said they had set up idols in their heart. One of the things they did, amen, was they didn't ask God when they tried to do something. When it was time to go here or there, when it was time to do something, amen, even in a religious sense, they didn't ask God. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, these men have set up idols in their heart. They didn't go to God. If you back up to verse 17 there in the previous chapter, I think it's 17. Yeah. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. You see, they're doing this thing out of their own heart. They're doing this thing out of their own mind. You know, we're warned over in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4, might be chapter 5, I get them confused, but it says this. Man, my brain just went dead. It says about, see then that you walk not as other Gentiles walk, according to the vanity of their mind. This is Ephesians 4:17. According to the vanity of their mind. We're not supposed to be doing this thing according to what we think.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what we think.
Yep.
I've had people, you know, I've been on airplanes a lot traveling, and I've had hours to talk to people. You fly over like toward Africa and stuff, and one of the flights is 8.5 hours at least, and can be longer. And so inadvertently, every time I sat down on a plane and opened my Bible, the guy next to me is some nut. Amen. And he always wants to argue with me about the Bible. And most of the time it leaves him in knots. You start quoting scripture to him and they're like, blah, 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 you know. And they can't handle it. Right? But, you know, I had a guy sit down next to me. He said, oh, you must be a Baptist. I said, why you say that? He said, you got your Bible out there. I said, what, other churches don't read their Bible? I said, I'm just reading my Bible. He said, well, you Baptists, you're sticklers on the Bible. I said, what else is there? I mean, you want to know what I got to say about it? Read your Bible.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I think. What matters is what did God say?
Right. Amen.
Listen, man, if you don't get this thing the way God said it, you got it messed up.
That's right.
Amen. You can call it church. You can call it, amen, the lodge. You can call it anything you want to. You can call the church that meets in Jesus' name, and I don't give a rip. Amen. If God ain't in there and that Bible ain't in there, you ain't going to get it straight.
That's right. Exactly.
And not only that, you got to figure out by studying that Bible how it fits together so you can rightly divide it, so you can put it together, amen, and come out with the right answer.
That's right.
Amen. Some of these kooks out there, man, they're nuts.
You're
and
right.
They got this stuff all, you know, I mean, well, I read it just what it says. Yeah, but wait a minute. Now, that ain't what it says. You know, you're changing things. You're twisting things. You're making it what it don't say. The words you're saying aren't in there. Amen. And so, amen, what happened? They're doing it their own way. Doing something without God. Amen. It also says there in Ephesians, that same chapter, 4:17, 5:17, wherever. But verse 18 says this, having the understanding darkened.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, you want to go blind quick? Leave God and that book out of your life.
Yes, sir.
Exactly right.
I'm talking about saved people.
Yes, sir.
Who won't read their Bible. You leave God out of the equation and you got a mess.
Mm-hmm.
You got a big mess because you got what you think. You know how far you'll go on what you think? Exactly what you know. And you know what I found out? You don't know what you think you know.
That's right. Exactly right.
Amen. The preacher said it earlier, man. When I was 18, I had all the answers. I'm 62 now, and I ain't even sure what the questions are. Amen. I mean, you get a little older, you start figuring out this thing don't work without God. You've got to have God. And you've got to do what you do the way God instructs you to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
That book says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. You ask anybody that knows me, amen, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. You ask anybody that's doing the will of God anywhere, and they'll tell you the same question, same answer. I am happy doing what I'm doing. Why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I'm no good, but it's God, amen, that allows me to do it. And God that directs it. And the good is God. It ain't me. Amen. You took what I had, man, for goodness. I mean, you'd burn it up. That's what'd be what left of it. But man, you take the goodness of God. You can't destroy it. You can't ignite, amen. You can't wear it out. And so here it is, man. They're not going God's way. So what they do, they start setting up idols in their heart. You know they didn't check with God. Hey, God, is it okay if I put this idol in here? Huh? Can you imagine that prayer? I mean, man. No, neither could they. That's why they didn't utter it. That's why they didn't talk to God about it. So what happens? They set up the idols in the heart, and the stumbling block of their iniquity is before their face. One of these days, I'm going to get a big piece of plexiglass and write iniquity on it. Why? So you can see through it and get a picture of what this thing is. Why? Because everywhere they go, it's before their face. They look that away, and there it is. They look that away, and there it is. They look that away, and there it is. What are they seeing? The stumbling block of their iniquity. Yeah. Their own sin. And you know what happens when they do that? They look at you, and they see their sin. So they're looking through their sin at you. So you know what they think about you?
Yeah.
That's you. Not them anymore, that's you. Because they're looking at it. They saw it. What did they see? Their own sin. Why? Why did they have, amen, something before their face that was their sin, and why would they apply it to someone else? I have watched this, amen, in the last 2 years, about three years, in Baptist churches. I watched a pastor explode a church. Amen. Standing on this side of the church, pointing at two men on that side of the church, and blame them for what he was doing. And everybody had, oh yeah, he's right. But I knew better. I counseled both of them. Guy's lying through his teeth, but he couldn't even see that it was his own sin. Amen. Why? Brother, you leave God out of this thing, you're liable to do anything. Man, I've seen people, you know, they meet some guy, did some heinous thing, you know. Oh, I'd never do that. You better be careful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
You better be careful. You're capable.
Yes, sir.
I mean, one moment with God out of the equation.
Oh, yeah.
And it's over. It could be that fast.
Right.
Amen. So here they are, the stumbling block of iniquity. You know what? God took this thing personal. See, we forget, man. We leave God out of the equation, and we forget that God's got an opinion here. And God's got feelings too. Amen. And so what happened? God took it personal. God didn't just let this thing float over. Woo, everything's going to be fine here, you know. What happened? Look at verse 4 there. After the semicolon down there toward the bottom. I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. God said, I'm going to answer. But I'm not going to answer according to what I think. They want their idols? Let them have them. I'm going to answer them according to them idols. Right there. Can you imagine that? Where would we be, Brother Dale? We'd be in a mess. Man, if it was according to our idols, according to the way we think this thing out, ain't no way we'd be sitting here today. Ain't no way we'd even be known as what we're known as. You know why you know Dennis Deneau as what he is? Because that's what he's done all these years, and let God do the work through him, and let God build an amen. And you know him because of Jesus Christ and the work he's done in his life.
Yes, sir.
Amen. People know John Asquith because of the work God's done, not only in his life, but in here. In these people.
Yes,
in you all.
Yes,
amen?
Amen.
And hey, that's the only reason we ought to be known. Amen.
Amen.
But God said, man, I'm going to answer according to their idols. Now, verse 5 there says, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart. You know, here they are. Man, they're having a party. They got their little idols, and everywhere they turn, they see their little idols before their face, and they're having this little party. Amen. And what happens now? The position they had becomes worse. They become worse off. Amen. Thus saith the Lord God. Wait a minute. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Man, they've turned their back on God. God didn't leave. You know, you heard the old story, you know, husband and wife, you know, they've been, when they first get married, you know, they're sitting next to each other, driving down the road, and she's all up close to him, and there they are driving down the road, and about 20 years later, they're driving down the road, she's clear across the car, and she says, honey, you remember the days when we used to sit right up close to each other? And the husband said, I never moved. Oh, yeah. Amen. Yeah. Somebody moved, but it wasn't God. Amen. Amen. Better not seek our own desire in this thing. Ought to seek God's desire. Amen. Look at verse 7 with me. For every one of the house of Israel, the stranger, the sojourner in Israel, which separateth himself from me. God didn't move. These guys got their little idols set up in their heart. They got, so everywhere they turn, they see that thing, that iniquity, amen, before their face. They're now accusing everybody else of doing it. You ever meet anybody like that? You know what they are, too? I've noticed folks like that are bitter. Yeah. Sin will make you bitter. Man, there they are. They're bitter. And not only, so they're bitter, so what they want to do, they want to spew it out on you and make you bitter. Yeah. Amen? You want to affect somebody else with it. And said they separated themselves from God. You know, Baptists, you know, talk about separation a lot. But the problem is we're supposed to separate from the world, not God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen?
But I'm watching it. I mean, I've been watching it for years. I'm seeing this stuff with this. I mean, I was just talking to somebody. I forget who it was. A little while ago, standing right over here. About the church in Las Vegas where my wife got saved. Oh, it was Brother Danny. That's where it was, downstairs, huh? And here it is, man. Now they're not even a Baptist church. They're not even a Bible church. They're just a church. Mm-hmm. And he said, how did that get in? I said, one little bit at a time.
Yes.
Yep.
Little bit of music, little bit of music, little bit of music, little bit of music. Piano goes out the window.
Good.
Electrified thing gets up there and some guy goes, wah! And plays at it. Amen.
Yes.
Next thing you know, a little bit of Bible, a little bit of Bible, a little less Bible, a little less Bible, a little less Bible, a little less Bible. Bible goes out the window, and all you got is juking for Jesus. Whoa, 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 you know. Amen. What? A little bit of time. A little bit of time. Didn't check with God. You know, preacher, that song y'all sang, that's just hard to understand. If it's hard to understand, you ain't saved. You know?
Yeah. Come on.
The bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. I mean,
that's right.
You can't get that. You ain't even saved. You need a good dose of old-fashioned salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Repent of your wicked, evil sins. Amen. Turn to God. Get right with God. Get saved, man. And you'll understand it. Amen. You'll get the Holy Ghost in you. Amen. To teach you, to guide you. Amen. To give you all that truth that you're missing out on. Amen.
Amen.
Separate themselves from God. Isaiah 59:2 said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. There it is, man. What's the iniquity? That idol they put in their heart. And so then he says this. Everyone that puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet.
I've been saved almost 40 years, Brother Tim. You know how many times I've gone to the preacher for my problems?
Zero.
Thank you.
Don't need to.
Man, I got the Holy Ghost in me. I got the Word of God, and I believe every word of that book was put in there by God on purpose for me. If it wasn't, throw it out, man. Go back to what you used to do. If you ain't got something from God that's preserved and pure and amen and perfect, brother, you got nothing to cling your faith to.
That's it.
And brother, I'm telling you, amen. When I've had a problem, we get down, we pray. Now, a couple times I might have gone to my pastor and said, what do you think about this? But I wasn't trying to feel him out to see if he'd agree with me so I could go do something I wanted to do. Amen. Listen, when I've had a decision, amen. I mean, and I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to tell you, I got another message I almost preached today on putting the word of God in your heart. That book says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. It also says, order my steps thereto in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. You get that book in your heart, you get in that book, and God will guide your steps through that book. You want to turn left, he'll tell you in that book, turn left. Oh, I don't believe that. Try it sometime. Yeah. You ever put God to the test? Amen. Her mother, that's my middle daughter's granddaughter. I mean, no, my middle daughter's daughter. My granddaughter. Her mother was struggling with something one time in life. We was living down in central Pennsylvania. And I had a verse in my Bible for God, and I knew that was the verse I wanted, but I didn't have time to look for it. I had something going on at the church. I had to get to the church to take care of some things. And so I took my Bible, handed it to my youngest daughter. I said, here, you find this verse for me. That'll be the one that'll help your sister. I said, find this verse. And I said, I can't remember the address, but I can remember that it was on the left side of the left-hand page, about that far down, and I wrote it and dated it when all the stuff. Here's what I wrote. I remember what I wrote. I said, you find what I wrote. That's the verse. So I went off, and I came back later that day, and my little daughter, she is my little daughter. You know Sarah, man, she ain't about that high. From the floor down there now. She comes to me with my Bible, and tears running down her face. She said, Daddy, I found that verse. And I found something else. I said, honey, what'd you find? She said, I found our whole life in that book. I said, because, honey, that's because every time Daddy's had a major decision to make, he goes to God in that book and waits till God says, here's your answer. You want your answer? God gave you a book to guide your steps.
Amen.
He gave you the Holy Ghost to guide you in that book. Brother, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, it works. Amen. I've already proven it in my own life. I've had this one now for several years. You go through here, I can show you places, amen, where God... Hey, I don't care if it's Chronicles, man. God wrote the book and it's eternal. You got a decision that's major and you want to make sure you make the right decision. You check with God.
Amen.
And you ask God to show you out of that book. He'll do it. He'll do it. Amen. Time and time and time again, he's done it for us. Amen. That book's real. Said they wouldn't check with God, so what it was? He said, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. He said, he went to the prophet, but I'm kind of shoving the prophet aside here a little bit. I'm going to talk to him. I got something I want to say to him. But he won't listen. He won't come to me. Amen. Now listen, you need counsel. Go to the preacher. Man, before you get something totally messed up in your life, go to the preacher. But take his counsel.
That's right.
Amen. I mean, people come to the preacher. Oh, preacher. Oh, you don't know how bad. And I've got to know. What do I do here? And the preacher says, do it this way. Oh.
Well,
preacher, I'm sorry. I already did it this way.
Yeah.
Oops. Amen. What he said then? I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know what that is right there? That's God performing church discipline. Ooh, brother. Man, we are, the church, I'm talking about the church as a whole today, is so full of mealy-mouthed wimps. You do church discipline, it's like, why'd you do that? You big meanie. God did it. Paul instructed us to do it. I've had to do it. Listen, I've had him where, amen, I disciplined the guy, right, according to Scripture. I went to him first, he wouldn't hear it. I took another with me, he wouldn't hear it. I took another with me, he wouldn't hear it. I brought him before the church, stood him up in church, amen. And I said, okay. And he said, yeah, I did it, and I'm not going to get right. So what'd you do? I said, there's the door, get out.
Wow.
First of all, I said, did I come to you? Yep. Did I bring so-and-so? Yep. Did I bring these two? Yep. Okay. I said, now you know, and I read the scripture. I said, here we are. It's right here at this point. You're before the church, and you won't get right. Get out!
That's it.
They had men on this side, women on this side.
Come to Harry.
He jumped out in the hallway, and he did one of these numbers. I'll be back tomorrow morning to take out every timber in this church. I put it in. I can't do it now, but I did back then. I jumped over the pulpit, and I landed right down there. And I said, you do! May God Almighty strike you dead! That's God's timber now!
Right.
And I walked right up to him, and just my presence ran him out the door. Man, the girls, the women are, oh, please, my God, oh, you're being mean. Oh, please, don't do that. Oh, please, don't do that. Oh, oh, no. They're just flipping out. I shut the door, bolted the door. Guy leaves. And I stayed right back there for a minute to make sure he left, and he didn't leave. He walked a little ways, came back. And he's in there, he's pounding on the door. He's kicking at the door. I leaned against the door. And I began, I'm preaching, and I'm quoting all the verses on church discipline. Leaning against the door. Just, I mean, fast as I could preach it. That went on for about 30 minutes. Finally, he stopped kicking on the door. So I moved away from the door. I started to walk down the aisle, and I heard this. Real soft tapping. So I went back, and I cracked the door, and there he was. But he's bowed down like this, and he's kind of weeping.
Please, I'm sorry. You're right. God's right. I'm wrong, please. Can I get right? I said,
come on. Opened the door, walked him right down the aisle, turned him around up front, got him right up here, turned him around. I said, folks, and I called him by name. I said, he'd like to get right with God and y'all. I said, now, you are acknowledging the fact you did this and so? He said,
yes, I did it. You know it. Y'all know it, man. I did it. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I just shouldn't have done it, man. I'm sorry. I'm not touching a bad name on Jesus. I'm not touching a bad name on church. Oh, please forgive me.
I said, church, it's up to you now. Man, they all just, I didn't have to say nothing, man. They just started coming up hugging. Got the matter straightened out. And after church, he straightened out what he messed up. Church discipline works. It's Bible. I've known, that's the only time I ever saw it work that fast, but it works. Here it is, man. What is it? I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I'm the Lord. God is holy. He's not going to put up with nonsense.
Amen.
Amen. And so what happened? He puts the guy out. Why? So he'll get right.
That's the whole point.
That's why you do it. It's not to be mean. It's not to be, hey, yeah, I'm holier than you. No, man, that could be me. They put him out. Why? So they'll get right. Because when they get out there, then it's them and God.
Yeah.
Amen. Today you try it, and 55 people got to, oh, yo, we're sorry the pastor's so mean to you. Oh, please come to my house. We'll have cake and crumpets and coffee. And the guy never gets right. And they can't figure it out. God put him out. He put him out for a reason. Hey, listen, man, he put him out. Hey, they've been out now for over 2,000 years. That's Israel we're talking about.
Yep.
But read your Bible. What is going to happen? They are going to get right. Amen. You let sin in and keep sin in. Amen. You let somebody, especially, amen, that's a professing Christian, you let them live in their wallowing their wickedness in front of everybody and affect the church with it. It's going to affect the church in a big way. And you won't like it. I just had a case just last week. Guy from the church came to me and said, preacher, this all going on. He said, I don't know, should I tell my preacher? I said, tell your preacher. He's the one got to make all the decisions. I can't. He's the pastor. But it needs to be brought up because it's going to affect the whole church. Bitterness will destroy. Amen. Moving on. Look at verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken the thing, I, the Lord, that have deceived that prophet. Then I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. And the punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Man, now, you know, the prophet's going to get in trouble because he's even messing with him. And he ain't right with God. Eleven. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me.
Amen.
There is what God intends in this whole thing.
That's it.
He don't want folks going astray. They went astray when they set that idol up in their own heart. You know what happens? They put that thing in their heart and it comes, I mean, now it's before their face. Everywhere they go, they see their own sin. And they can't figure out why everybody else is so wicked. And really, it's themselves. You know what Paul said? He said, there go I by the grace of God. You know what happens if we don't deal with the sin, amen, that creeps into our life? It becomes an idol. And then not only does it become an idol, but it turns us, amen, away from God. It clouds the thinking where we cannot make a spiritual discernment, a spiritual judgment. And we get critical of everybody. Nyan, nyan, nyan. This is a big meeting. I don't know what's been happening, but I know what happens in most places. All hell breaks loose the week before the meeting. Man, nyan, 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 nyan. Did you nyan, 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 nyan? Did you nyan, nyan, nyan? Amen. No. Amen. In the words of an old preacher, stop it! Amen. Why? If my mom used to say this, man, my mom wasn't even right with God when I was growing up. She used to say this, if you can't say nothing good about anybody, then don't say nothing. Amen. All the backbiting, amen, all that does is make you look good. Make me, well, it doesn't really make you look good, it makes you feel good. Makes that flesh, I got to release. You want to release it? Go tell God about it. Amen? Go tell God about it. And if you still can't get rid of it, go to that person and the two of you get down and tell God about it. See what happens. Amen? The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me, now it's even affecting the land. By trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it and will break off the staff of bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. Amen. Now they're going to go hungry. Why? Because they got something in their heart they won't deal with. Verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Noah, he's the man that was perfect in his generations. God didn't say that about anybody else.
That's right.
Daniel, he's a man with no blemish and an excellent spirit. God didn't say that about anybody else. Job, a man that was perfect and upright. God didn't say that about anybody else.
Right.
I mean, these guys are on pretty high ground with God. And God said, if those three were in this mess right now today, they'd be the only ones getting out. Amen. That's how personal God takes it. See? And what was the issue? That an idol in their heart. You know what? It wasn't even one they put out in the front yard. It wasn't even one they put up on a shelf in the house. It wasn't one they hung from the mirror of the car. It was in their heart. And it started to affect people, and it affected others, until it affected the whole land, and now they're going hungry. Because they wouldn't deal with it. Verse 15, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, while the land shall be desolate. If I bring a sword, and he goes on down through all that, what's he trying to do? God's plan and purpose in this thing is to deal with the sin. What God wants to do, he wants to deal with it. Why? Before that thing becomes, amen, an idol in your heart, and then a stumbling block of iniquity that's before your face everywhere you go. You know, if you've got one, you know what it is? You get down to pray, and that's the thing that comes up in your face. Amen. And then verse 22, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. God's plan in this thing is to deliver the righteous. Amen. God wants to deliver you. Verse 23, and they shall comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. God's purpose made plain right there in verse 23. Looking for comfort, not turmoil, not unrest in the soul. If you've got that thing, listen, I'll tell you right now, honestly, every time those guys made a turn, every time those guys got out of bed, every time they did what they did, I'm telling you what happened. That thing, there was turmoil in their soul. Why? Because they weren't right with God. And they wouldn't deal with their own problem. So then what happens? It's before their eyes everywhere they go. Now, I'm going to close with this. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy 6. This is what's supposed to be before a child of God's eyes. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. We'll start there. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord thy, amen, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. What are they supposed to have before their eyes? Word of God. That thing ought to be in their heart instead of an idol. Mm-hmm. Amen. That thing ought to be before their eyes. You know, when you judge, when you judge situations and things through this book, when that book's in your heart, you know how you see it? You see it like God sees it. Amen. And you know what I see when I look out of the congregation through that book? A congregation that's trying to serve God, trying their best to do right by God, you know what I see? Exactly that. I don't see that this one over here, he's got a problem with that, and this one over here, she's got a problem with that, that one back there, he's got a problem. I don't see all that. It don't matter. What matters is they're here. You know what matters today? You're here. I mean, Sunday afternoon. Amen. Trying to get something from God. Amen. Trying to get ready, many of them, amen, for the meeting coming up. Amen. We can't let things get in the way. We can't let things in the heart, amen, other than godly things. Amen. We do. We get ourselves in a mess just like Israel did. Father, thank you for the privilege. I pray it's been a help and a blessing. Bless now, I pray, this week. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.